All right, now that everyone's headphone levels are set, it's the roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. We're joined by Alan Shartok of WAMC fame and editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, is here. Hi, Judy. How are you?
Not as famous as Alan, but I'm glad to be here.
Well, you're just as famous to me.
And you keep working on it, Judy, and you will be.
And you're a more sympathetic figure.
Yeah.
So it works out really
well.
Wait
a second now. More sympathetic figure. You think I don't know what that means?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. She didn't go turn the air conditioner off right before the show.
Well, because have you ever noticed that people with
a little extra weight
don't need the air need too much air conditioning.
I would just point out that this is a broadcast facility, and there is a vast amount of electronic gear that needs to be kept cool. So those who
but not frozen.
Those who would run the station at tropical temperatures tend to shorten the lifespan of some of this expensive equipment we have. Not to mention, if your host for the morning, is not really permitted to strip down. However, you are permitted to wear extra layers. I would suggest the air conditioner stay on.
It's on.
All right.
Do you really want to start talking to me about shortening lifespan?
I don't know. All right, let's just move on with the show. Judy, in your paper today, and you're covering a group that's heading to Washington for a very special anniversary.
Right. 50 years ago, the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom took place down on the mall there. And there's a group from the Mount Olivet Baptist Church that's gathered 50 people together. They're headed down. They're leaving Friday night. They're going to be there all day Saturday. The actual anniversary of the march is the 28th. I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
But there will be events on Tuesday, but there will also be a big rally down there on Saturday. Among the people going are three people who went to the original march.
Really?
Yeah, and we talked to one of them, our reporter Kelly De La Rocha wrote the story, and she said she described it as electrifying to be there. And, you know, if you've been watching any of the past, the coverage of what happened back then, it does indeed look like it was an electrifying event.
And, you know, NPR had a huge story on this morning about a young woman who had her picture taken. I don't know if you guys
heard that.
It was a terrific story, unusually terrific, really good.
Yeah, and it meant...
Is that a shot?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you have to put the word unusually in? It was a terrific story, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
So the people who are headed down now, one of the things they talk about the past and how important it was, but they also talk about what here and now, and they think that this is important for people to pay attention to now, because even though a lot has happened in 50 years, people are saying, really... These kind of issues still need to be focused on, and there's much more to be done.
Yeah, well, you know, they are right, of course. And seriously, for a second, the thing about King, which I have always felt led to his death, was that he was very frightening to some of the people who were pulling the switches. And the reason I think that is that his message was not only to black people. His message was to all of us about poverty and getting together. I mean, when you heard him talking about Vietnam or some of those things, it was extraordinary eloquence. And I think what scared the hell out of a lot of people was the fact that he was making an appeal for unity between those people who were poor, who were white, and those people who were poor and out of work, who happened to be black or Hispanic. And that is the kind of thing in which social revolutions come. And that's what I think made him such a dangerous man for some of the people who were representing the status quo.
Virginia Labad, the lady from Schenectady, who was down there 50 years ago, she talked to us about what a strong presence Dr. King was and how electrifying his speech was, and that there was such depth, and it was the fact that it was so inclusive that it was inspiring her for the rest of her life.
He was so magnetic. I remember walking down the street on Fire Island, which is only two short blocks wide, bay on one side and the ocean on the other. And Roselle and I were walking on the street, and there he was. I mean, we literally had to move aside so that he would. And we've never forgotten it. I mean, his presence was really unbelievable. He was out there, I think, raising some money.
That's Alan Chartok from WAMC, also joined here by editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick. We'd love you to join the conversation. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage. That's wamc.org/roundtable. Or our Facebook page, or you could tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Either way, we'd love you to join the conversation. And it is 17 minutes after 9 o'clock. The panel on the Roundtable this morning, moving on to some sobering news. And I would say horrifying, but not necessarily shocking. You can find this on our website and just about everywhere else. New reports of chemical weapons in Syria. Dozens may be dead. We heard on the BBC it could be hundreds.
600 they're talking about.
Two Syrian pro-opposition groups are claiming that dozens of people were killed Wednesday in a poisonous gas attack near Damascus. They're blaming the government forces. That's from NPR's Jean Cochran. She reported that earlier. Syrian activists, this is from Reuters, Syrian activists accuse President Bashar Assad's forces of launching a nerve gas attack that killed at least 213 in what would, if confirmed, be the worst reported use of poison gas in the two-year-old civil war. This from CNN. The British Foreign Secretary says in a statement released by his office, he's deeply concerned by the reports of hundreds of people, including children, having been killed in airstrikes and a chemical weapons attack. Haig also says, here's a quote, these reports are uncorroborated regarding the nerve gas or whatever poison gas, and we are urgently seeking more information, but it is clear that if they are verified, it would mark a shocking escalation in the use of chemical weapons in Syria. And they're obviously doing everything they can to verify it. My question now, I think it's been almost a year since President Obama made that famous slash infamous red line remark.
Game changer.
Okay, so what happens now?
Yeah, you know, for those of us who remember not that long ago, really, about weapons of mass destruction, I think we have to be very careful here because you take a look at this thing and you say, OK, so what could the Syrian leaders be thinking? They could say, well, here, this thing is going on in Egypt. The military is stepping up. And putting their boots on the other guy's throats. This is a signal to us that we could do the same thing. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that the Syrian opposition knows damn well, based on what Obama has said, what the president has said, that the one thing that could get some boots on the ground or no-fly zones or the rest of it is chemical weapons. And since we don't know, we should be very careful about looking at all of that and very careful before we put more boots on the ground.
You know, it's indeed frustrating. We don't know what's going on.
That's
there.
Right.
That you have to have second and third hand reports, and then you can't trust the credibility of those reports. But obviously something's going on in Syria that we need journalists in there.
You know, it's funny, the timing of this, it's odd, because right now the news of this is happening as a UN team is in Syria to look at earlier allegations of chemical weapons. So it's almost as if someone is maybe trying to
orchestrating it all,
play a card of some kind, but that's just a theory.
No, well, as I just suggested to you, there could be theories all over the place. I mean, there could be theories that this is manipulation by the people who are trying to get into power, or it could be true about the people who are in power and using these weapons. But I can tell you one thing: if I'm, the Syrian leadership and the contemporary leadership, and I know that the one thing that will bring the Western powers into putting boots on the ground and all the rest of it, I'd have to be very careful, unless I'm so desperate and I'm losing the war, that I do it.
You know, it's interesting that this has been such an issue for the last 2-3 years. We've got hundreds of thousands of people, refugees, who've gone into neighboring countries, and it really hasn't captured the U.S. public's attention. Maybe this is the kind of thing that will get the public interested in this story.
It's certainly capturing the world's attention this morning.
Well, but to what degree? I mean, when you read just now that including women and children, that is That is something that people will find abhorrent. And virtually every time we get involved, it's because we can't sit still and watch some thugs beating up women on the streets of Iraq or Iran. Or Afghanistan. It is, in fact, one of those calls to action.
Go ahead.
But what kind of action to take? Yeah, even this morning.
Oh, well, no-fly zone, for example.
Yeah, but there's clear disagreement in within the administration about what to do.
Sure.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff this morning, there was an AP story that he's saying, you know, if we give aid to the rebels, they are not going to support U.S. interests.
Well, wow. that's an issue, and that's popping up again and again.
Yeah.
And so it's a sticky wicket indeed. Alan Shartok is here. Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We'll switch gears, and we'll talk about something a little closer to home next on the Roundtable.
Support comes from Saugerties Furniture, Saugerties. Family-owned for 65 years, four floors of American-made living room, bedroom, and dining furniture open daily. SaugertiesFurniture.com. Lotus Fine Art and Design, Woodstock. Reverse-painted glass lighting, artisan-crafted jewelry and gifts for all occasions, paintings and custom framing. LotusWoodstock.com. And H. House & Son True Value, Woodstock. Since 1932, a local store featuring hardware, Weber grills, Benjamin Moore paint, and tool and equipment rentals. True Value. Start right, start here. HHoust.com.
It's the Roundtable on WAMC, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. The Daily Gazette's Judy Patrick. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. And from the New York Times yesterday, nonprofits balking at a law on disclosing political donors. Alan, you have some strong feelings on this.
Well, as you know, we are after full disclosure in state government, and the governor put up a law that said, okay, proposed it, and I think it got passed, would say that, if you're lobbying and you're a not-for-profit, you have to say who gave you the money. Mm. So in the case, and that stuff gets published. So in the case of somebody like NARAL or one of the those who believe in a woman's choice, pro-choice, they get threatened all the time. And you start giving away people's names, addresses, and what will end up happening is you're going to get a lot less money for the cause, understandably, because people aren't going to want to be identified. Now, of course, their job is to lobby some of these groups, and they want to change political policy. So along comes the ethics people, and they say, okay, in this case, you don't have to disclose, which makes everybody crazy because the right wing now says, oh, you mean now you're playing favorites because we have the same problems on our side. We get threatened also.
Yeah.
So now you really have to play fair or not at all.
So no exemptions? I mean, I think as it currently reads, there are exemptions if there's a threat of harm, threat, harassment, or reprisals.
Right.
But then can't everyone just say, well, there's a threat, so I don't have to tell you anything?
Well, yes, or you think I've never been threatened here or that the radio station
has
never
been threatened?
Yeah, well, by you, certainly, and that happens almost daily. but that's right. Now, let me put it this way. We don't lobby here at WMC. We don't do it. So this is not something that I have to worry about, but we have a longstanding tradition of we don't sell our lists, we don't give away our lists, we don't want anybody else to have, you know, our list. But you do that, and people are going to start getting hit from all kinds of groups, not only the hate groups, but the people who want to get these people to give them donations.
And another one of the issues is that they made this decision, didn't they, in secret?
Oh, as always, you know, there should be a full, transparent policy discussion on why you do one and not another.
And this is lobbying. What about campaign contributions? When groups do that, they're also asking for exclusions in that case.
Yeah, you know, Judy, you make a profound point. I'm thinking now that if you want to affect a group, let's say there was a politician out there who's angry about some of the things that were said on WAMC about them, could they therefore, you know, start saying from now on, everybody who gives anything wanting any kind of tax exemption should give the whole list? I'm just looking into the future. That, of course, would affect the way in which, you know, the place was funded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, according to
this, let the record show, Judy's sort of saying, okay, she got one of those looks on her face.
But, you know, disclosure is really an important issue. And when you start out issuing exemptions, it is a slippery slope, and they really have to make a strong case that these things need to be exempted.
David Renzi was quoted in the New York Times piece on this yesterday saying, you know, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars here, and that could be exempted from disclosure. Shouldn't we have this discussion publicly? And shouldn't we?
That's Judy's point. Yeah. You want to go back to that, Judy?
You know, there's a great line in the New York Times article about this that says in Albany, where even transparency is discussed in secret.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, we'd love you to join the conversation here. It's the roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go to our webpage, and that's WAMC.org/roundtable. There's a place to comment there. You could comment on our Facebook page.
Wait a second. Let me see, just so I understand that.
Okay.
You go to WAMC.org.
Right.
But if you put in a slash.
Roundtable.
And roundtable, then you go directly to the roundtable page.
That's it, man.
Okay. No, I'm a little slow.
You can go to the main website, WAMC.org, and just type in roundtable on the search.
You could do it that way.
That's another way.
Yeah.
You could tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. That's another one.
I follow many of you people on Twitter. Very interesting stuff.
How you do that?
Just get my tweet deck going and watch.
Here's
it all
how you
day.
Do it. You say, you know what? One of my people is going to follow Judy, and then they'll do it for you.
So you follow us?
I do.
That's
I follow
scary.
Many. You have very witty people here.
Do you follow me?
It is an odd. It's odd language, isn't it?
Tweet
language.
I like. I follow.
Give us an example of how you tweet.
Oh, I'm still working on it. In fact, my reporters tell me I need to develop a better sense of humor. That you need wit and humor.
Really?
I do.
Well, that worked out well. All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. We'll get some news, and then we'll be back with yet another topic. And coming up around quarter of, we're going to welcome our sports expert, Ian Pickus. To talk about Dempster and the suspension that doesn't really mean anything, A-Rod and his litigation, and oh, so much fun. It's all coming up on the Roundtable. And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:35 is the time. Alan Chartok is here, and Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. President Obama heading to New York, and right into the middle of New York's ongoing fracking debate. This is from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. John Campbell's piece. When he visits the campus of Binghamton University on Friday, President Obama will step into the region that has long been viewed as the epicenter of New York's five-year stalemate over shale gas drilling. Governor Cuomo, a fellow Democrat, will not be joining him. He'll greet the president, I believe, in Buffalo.
I think that's right.
But he won't be there for this one. And here's a quote from John Armstrong, a spokesman for Frack Action, a group opposed to fracking. Swarms of New Yorkers are going to be out to greet the president. We're protesting his stance on fracking and the fact that he's turned a blind eye to the science and the ill health effects affecting thousands of Americans. Now, if you recall, the president, in his State of the Union address, pledged to encourage the natural gas boom, saying, you know, it's led to cleaner power, greater energy independence. So this is, he'll be in the middle of this.
Judy, you want to go first?
You know, is there any indication he's going to address it at all, or he's just going to encounter protesters? He's here to discuss higher education and the cost of going to college.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he will, if he's greeted by a lot of protesters, that may start the debate. Is this a big issue on college campuses? In Binghamton, is there a student group that is involved in this?
I would guess, but I would guess that there is. And I think one of the things that happened with Governor Cuomo on this, it was clear he was for it also in the beginning, at least to me it was clear. and they were moving ahead with all dispatch. And then it became the issue. It became such a hot-button issue that first they were looking for the DEC to offer some protection by having that famous study in which they got tens and thousands of comments. And then they gave it to the Department of Health, and we still haven't seen that one. But in the meantime, I believe, and I don't think I'm wrong about this, that the federal government's agencies did some work on fracking also, and that we had some counterindications from some of those reports about fracking and what they could do. So the point is, if you don't know about something, then you don't do it until you know, until you have the right kind of science. This guy Armstrong, who is the spokesman, is a very bright guy. He's been here many times, and he makes a very persuasive case, at least to me. But in any case, up is going to come the President of the United States, and even, Judy, if he doesn't say anything about fracking, those groups are out there, so that's going to be the news story, whether he says anything or not.
Well, we'll see what the news story is.
Well, I'll tell you what the news story is.
I think the political subtext is even more interesting.
Really?
In that, you know, Governor Cuomo, who may or may not have designs
who
on
has
Washington.
A, who has a 63% approval rating compared to the 40% for the president.
But he may or may not need a hand or two if he decides to run for president.
Oh, yeah. You don't
and,
want to
you know, the around. Outgoing president might be a handy guy to have on your side.
Good point, Ray.
So what... What do you make of the political
well,
ramifications?
Well, so you can see, Andrew sitting up there on the second floor. So let's see how we do this.
Nice.
If we, yeah, right. If we, what?
That was Alan at WAMC.org. Continue.
They know where I am. Yeah. They call me from time to time.
Okay.
So what's he thinking when he's on the second floor?
Thank you, Judy, getting me back on track with this diffuse mind of mine. No, he's thinking, well, you know, I don't want to lend any of my prestige to this. Let him be in trouble. So I'll go shake his hand when he gets off the plane in Buffalo, and then I'll scram. But if you think I'm going to go where those protesters are out there in, I've had my share of those guys already out there in Binghamton and these other places. I'm not going to do it because I can only lose by doing it. And just as Ray just said, you don't want to alienate the President of the United States. That's why he'll be there. Now, I wonder if there's been any contact between the White House and the second floor, as we say here, in Albany, saying implicitly, you better. And remember, the feds can really hurt you by giving you money or not giving you money for the various projects and everything else. So you don't want to alienate, the president.
Do you think the president was aware that this is an issue in Binghamton and Southern Tier?
Absolutely. I think it's so interesting that all the places he's going to, Judy, are in fact fracking related, I think, to some degree. Not going to New York City where you're not allowed to frack. It's one of the things that's always made me a little furious, which is you're not allowed to touch the New York City aquifer. You're not allowed to touch the Syracuse aquifer. But everybody else can go fish. Or frack.
Okay. Fair enough. We'd love you to join the conversation. And I know anytime we mention the word fracking, we get comments. So roundtable@WAMC.org is our email address. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. But the email is very quick, roundtable@WAMC.org. We did get one earlier when we were discussing Syria. This is from John, who emailed, I would suggest the roundtable panel listen to yesterday's broadcast on WAMC of the alternative radio program Beyond Vietnam by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. before opining on the current events in Syria. The latest violence against Syrians is secondary to the daily violence against Americans. That's from John. Won't say his last name, but what do you think about that?
What do you mean, what do I think about
it? Well, are you going to comment on the comment?
Well, no, I mean, I did mention, whether John heard it or not, that his eloquence about Vietnam at the time and why we were there and what we were doing there was superb. And so I think, as I have just said, that when you are thinking about whether to get involved in wars or not, you really have to see who's motivated, who has the most to gain or lose by it. And you have to look at it in a historical perspective to see that there's nothing new here.
Did he mention the violence against Americans now?
Yeah, the daily violence against Americans. But I would say it's not secondary. If hundreds of people are being gassed with poison gas, I would say that rises to a pretty high level of seriousness.
I agree.
All right.
Well, it's serious. But the question is, who's the world's policeman? The question is, first of all, if it happened, it's that when it happened the first time, they thought there was some question as to whether it was the insurgents or it was whether it was the government. So I don't know. When you hit the cough cup button because you have to cough,
clearing my throat.
No, I know.
Coffee.
When
it's polite to cough button when you slurp
and
coffee.
And you shut off your microphone. You also happen to shut off the guy who's talking.
No, not at all. Although, geez, Larry, try it. Why don't you say something?
Okay, here we go. I'm saying something right now. Wah, 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 wah.
I hit the cough button, and alas, you're still talking. So it didn't work as one would hope.
Judy is going to say, boys, boys, aren't you?
Dad, Mom, stop fighting.
All right, let's take a break here, Hopper. We'll be back. We'll shift gears and talk about A-Rod and sports and suspensions and blah.
Support comes from the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry featuring laser and digital technologies, woodstockdentist.com. Washington County Tourism, announcing the Washington County Fair today through Sunday, spotlighting the county's agricultural heritage with exhibits, farm museum, and more, washingtonnycounty.com. And Vertex Sales and Design in the AMP Plaza, Pleasant Valley, New York, offering custom designs and installation of kitchens, bathrooms, and home renovations. A new kitchen in 7days.com.
And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:43 is the time. Alan Shartok is here and Judy Patrick of the Daily Gazette. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Also joined here by a person who follows all of this rather personally. It's our own Ian Pickus, big Yankee fan. And Ryan Dempster, suspended for 5 days, I should say, for hitting A-Rod. And he threw at him 3 or 4 times. And then he finally hit him. So, Ian, why don't you set this up for those who are not sports fans, because it's an interesting story.
Well, baseball has always had this self-policing aspect to it, where what happens between the lines between players gets settled, and oftentimes it's kind of like Clemenza said in The Godfather, these things happen every 5 to 10 years. Someone gets one in the back, and then they move forward.
Gets out the bad blood.
Now, I didn't know there was so much bad blood here, because a lot of people in baseball have never liked A-Rod, and ever since the cheating that's come out not once but now twice, you don't really know what the players think. The teammates certainly seemed happy to have him back. He hits a home run. He gets a lot of high fives. Ryan Dempster of the Red Sox, though, apparently had other ideas.
All right, take us back to what happened during the game.
Sure. So A-Rod comes up. It's Fenway Park.
In Boston. Okay.
Yep. And for people who haven't been paying that much attention, he's just back off his injury. As he's playing now, he is facing a 211-game suspension that he's appealing, so he's got a while to figure that legal aspect out and can play during that.
Mm-hmm.
No one has pretty much challenged him yet while this is going on, and he comes up to bat, and the first pitch from Ryan Dempster is kind of down around his knees, and the second one goes behind him, and the third one gets him right in the back.
Yeah,
more of the back.
And instead of being thrown out right on the spot, Dempster was given a warning, and the Yankees bench was warned, which means the next one is an automatic ejection.
Right.
And the Yankees manager blew his top.
Joe Girardi contended that he should have been thrown out immediately at that time.
So instead, right, they throw out Joe Girardi from the game.
Right. And Girardi has a tendency to come out and get thrown out when he thinks it could fire his team up. He doesn't do it a lot, but there have been times when the team's been kind of skating along.
He may have a dinner date.
Right, or just, hey, you know, nothing's working, let's get these guys kind of crazy here. But in this case, I think he was actually right. You can't throw at someone 3 straight times and stay in the game. If Dempster wants to throw at A-Rod in the second inning, he's got to be prepared to face the music. And now he gets a 5-game suspension. If you're a pitcher, that's only one game. Because you only pitch once every 5 days.
So he's not going to miss a start, right? That's what CeCe Sabathia was saying. He said, you know what, at least make him miss a start.
They could float the off day in there and not make him miss it. And, you know, Girardi's facing a $5,000 fine. I'm not sure if Dempster's going to start or not. I don't think he's appealing the suspension.
Well, they have a couple of off days.
Yeah.
And so, as I understood it, he could, and I believe he's going to just take the fine or take the suspension as is.
Well, I have a question. May I ask Ian?
If you want to wreck my flow, go right ahead.
No, please.
All right, put this into context of the union. Dempster was big at times in the baseball players' union. A-Rod has been at times during this whole hoopla over biogenesis and his connection to it and the 211-game suspension which he is appealing. He has taken some shots through his attorneys at the union, at least in an oblique way. So is there some payback here?
There very well may be, and the thing that possibly precipitated this particular beaning is that A-Rod, there were stories that he had thrown the rest of the biogenesis crowd under the bus here and named names.
Yeah.
And he, of course, his circle, you know, which is in all the reports, A-Rod's camp, whoever that is, we don't really know, has said that's not true. But, you know, one of his teammates was on the list and took the suspension. I don't think A-Rod has many friends left in baseball necessarily. And the fact that he possibly squealed on other people could lead to him being thrown at by Ryan Dempster. Well, and he's at war with everyone. If you read Tom Verducci in SI, I think yesterday, you know, he has nothing to lose because 211 games at age 38, coming off two hip surgeries with a team that doesn't want him, no matter how this plays out, it's hard to see him spending a lot more time in
baseball. Well, how much do the Yankees still owe him?
A lot, $75 million or something like that, something crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So,
But
we can drag this out and fight everybody.
No, go ahead.
Did you ask me? Did you want to know something?
Yeah, I would love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, because you didn't let me talk before.
Well, I was on a roll.
Oh, God, no, you were.
Here comes the brushback pitch.
And you actually asked the very question which I was going to ask, which is to Ian, put simply, why does this guy throw it at Rodriguez? But you, in fact, got that answer out of him, so I have nothing to ask.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Yankees-Red Sox games, for the whole time A-Rod's been on this team, have been like that. A-Rod's been thrown out more than once. He's not a very likable player in Major League Baseball. He's the one who invented the 24-1 idea, that 24 teammates and then the one other teammate. He's fostered that. He had to be paid the most. He's always been a lightning rod. So the Red Sox have never liked him, dating back to, you know, the fight that he had with Jason Varitek, I think, in 2004. And he's been thrown out a million times.
What was that fight?
Oh, Varitek said, we don't throw it 230 hitters or something like that. And they ended up having a little, you know, fight at home. It's been going on forever. A-Rod's not. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm rooting for the team to get back in the playoff race.
Which they're doing slowly but surely.
I got seven games to go.
Didn't A-Rod hit a homer after all of this?
He did come up, and I've
that was great.
Rarely, if ever, seen him that fired up, because he knows it's him against the world right now, which is fascinating to watch in a very sick way. To watch a guy who is maybe in his last at-bats ever with his back up against the wall facing the Union, the Yankees, Major League Baseball, and public opinion to come up in a spot like that and hit a home run with all that going on. He's never been able to really thrive like that.
But as a Yankee fan, and you are passionate, we walk in here. Right, Ray? I mean, you can substantiate this.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever it is, I'll substantiate.
This is almost religious with Ian. You know, the Yankees. I mean, he has a Jeter uniform, which he wears to work every day.
Okay.
And to bed.
Oh, that's right.
I do have the number two driven cologne on, though.
Yeah.
Right. I see.
Whatever.
Oh, I thought that was Judy. Oh, it was you. Oh, I'll be darned.
But okay, isn't this whole thing bad for baseball?
It's terrible. And it is a double standard, too. I mean, you know, a million football players have done steroids and lied, and I don't know any of their names. You know, for some reason, baseball has been held to a higher standard.
Well, highest paid player ever doing it, I think, is probably and you're in New York, it puts you in the spotlight.
Well, it's just ugly.
And think of those kids, as Judy is sort of saying. You know, what about all those little leaguers who have to look at these guys and say, you know, their parents say, don't throw at somebody. The pitcher shouldn't throw at anybody or take steroids. A little kid taking steroids, they don't do that.
It's terrible for baseball. It's going to be worse, too. It's going to get uglier. The Yankees are... Brian Cashman, the general manager, says he feels he's in a litigious relationship.
He can only say hello to A-Rod now. Yeah. Hello,
he's
how
got
are
his
you?
Own problems.
And then A-Rod's trotting out this lawyer, this quack lawyer who's going on the Today Show and saying, basically contradicting the statement that A-Rod made about this whole biogenesis thing in January, saying he never had a relationship. It's going to get worse, and it's really hard to see how this ends. I don't know how it ends. It's going to be very interesting.
Now, Ray, you have a son who's quite a baseball player.
Yes, and he's not juicing yet.
No, but what does he ask you about this stuff?
We talk about it. It's almost every day now, and you just
really?
You know you're not to do that, and so it doesn't raise his eyebrow or mine at this point, and that's kind of sad in a way. It's so commonplace. But, you know, getting back to this incident with the Red Sox, I don't know if you saw Girardi's press conference afterwards. I couldn't help notice that there was maybe just a little hypocrisy here. Girardi, of course, a catcher with the Yankees back in big days.
Sure.
Caught Roger Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roger Clemens, pretty famous for throwing at people, including Mike Piazza, who he hit in the head and knocked him out long time.
Your team.
Now, I'm not even talking about him throwing a bat. But Girardi, with great indignation, says, oh, well, you don't throw at people. That's
right.
Not done. Oh, really? Mr. Catcher for 15 years. That's not done?
Which is an interesting point for both of you. Aren't these guys, don't they throw sometimes because they're told to throw?
Yes.
To throw at people?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, when Roger Clemens came to bat at Shea Stadium in interleague game.
The next year.
It fell to little Sean Estes, who wasn't even in this rivalry, to hit him in the back. And he threw behind him. And
about 12 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the crowd booed.
So
that's the best you got?
I don't know. It's like you got to inhale, exhale sometimes. And they have to happen. You like it to happen between the field. I mean, if it was just Dempster hitting A-Rod in the context of, I don't like you, back off the inside corner, that's one thing. The fact that it's loaded with all of this intrigue is another.
But one other thing in that is the emptying of the benches. You know, the announcers up there say, the benches are both empty. as everybody, because it's the rigueur that if your guy gets hit, you run out on the field, the other guys run out on the field, and you have chaos.
You bring a great point, and I'm not
Thank
sure you.
You
intended to do it. The Yankees, in all of this, is there, and I'll ask Ian Pickus, because he follows the Yankees on a daily basis, is there support? I mean, I wonder I would love to have seen what happened in the dugout and the clubhouse after A-Rod was thrown at three times and then hit in the middle of the back. Did they have any support for him, or did they just leave him be?
Well, as Alan says, they came out.
But
is that a show?
No, yeah, and it wasn't the kind of blood in their eye coming out that you would see maybe in another situation.
No, Tino Martinez took one in the back from Armando Benitez, and it was a full-out brawl against the Orioles. You didn't see that with A-Rod. You have seen that with A-Rod in the past, but I think his teammates, there are some who are still friends with him. Robinson Cano, who's coming up on a big free agent year and is a tremendous best second baseman in baseball, he looks up to A-Rod still. You can tell they're quite friendly. Jeter, Rivera, Pettit, that old guard that did it, you know, in a certain way, maybe not Pettit anymore. But the rest of them, I don't think, you know, they want A-Rod to get a hit and they want to win games. I don't think it goes much further than that anymore.
Do they want him out of there?
Boy, he knows so much, doesn't he? He's incredible.
Yeah,
this is a wasted youth we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
My parents have the baseball cards upstairs in the boxes to prove it.
I still have mine to prove it, too.
And how many people are listening to this program now who will 12. Never be able to will never be able to talk to their mother again if she's still with us because she threw out their baseball cards?
I hope this signal is going to Saratoga today.
Oh, boy. There could be some trouble. So the Yankees, they want him gone. They want this over, right?
I think so. And they, you know, I think they have to flash back to that night in 2007 when the Red Sox and Rockies were playing in the World Series, and all of a sudden the news came out that A-Rod would be opting out of his contract. And the Yankees, for some reason, let him call their bluff, and they re-signed him at that point. And I think, you know, they got one World Series out of it. They got a daily drama that never ends. They got how much litigation.
And so much more to come. So
exactly.
Much more drama to come.
One last question for you, very quickly.
Why? You got 3 minutes.
Okay, but my question to you, Ray, is that if there was an announcement, that same sort of announcement, you've been sort of critical, but same sort of announcement over the air that A-Rod has been traded by the Yankees to the Mets, your team.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I would say the Mets would only be $73 million short of what they needed to pay him.
Another Ponzi scheme, please.
Well, they got that Russian oligarch who's...
That's the Nets.
Oh, that's the Nets.
No,
yeah.
The Mets should be so lucky.
Oh, yeah, they lost all their money to...
they have the Wilpons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not working
and
out.
And they lost their money in the certain...
So now the 12 people who are listening are now down to two because we're talking about the Mets. So it's even worse. Judy, you've been awfully silent.
So the Red Sox and the Yankees, their fans have long been very strong enemies. How much did that play into it?
I think that Fenway crowd, and it gets kind of nasty. It's a very intense crowd, and they love, you know, they're chanting at A-Rod, they're booing him, and I think that does heighten the emotion of it. But most of these guys, you know, Johnny Damon switched teams, and I think it's in that context of the moment, it's very intense, and then it kind of dissipates. It's more for the fans. It's always been that way. Mariano Rivera is going to be honored by the Red Sox at Fenway Park when they're there in a couple of weeks, and I think, you know, for the players, it's the height of the competition, you know, while that pitch is being thrown. In the long run, the fans care about it way more, and I think, you know, the Red Sox are... They have no reason to worry about the Yankees right now. They're ahead. They're on
Don't
the way to their
so
playoffs.
Sure.
And
don't be so sure.
Well, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Yeah. but on a related question, how's Youkilis doing?
Youkilis is he's out. He's hoping to come back sometime next month.
What happened to him?
He's got a bum knee and a bad back.
Oh boy, that doesn't seem right.
So you know, in the face of this suspension and the litigation and the attorneys and wild claims, the Yankees may well make a run at this thing.
I figured out the math.
They will not.
This is what I think about going to bed. There, I think 37 games left, and if they win 25 of them, they'll have 91 wins, which might put them on the doorstep. But that's winning two out of three in a year when they've barely won one out of two.
And how many games back are they? Seven games?
They're, I think, 7.5 in the East and six out of a playoff spot.
Prediction. Yankees go to the playoffs, go deep in the playoffs. Then what do you think about A-Rod? We'll talk about that on another show. We are done.
Give him a parade. Ian and the heroes.
Exactly. Ian Pickus is our news director and resident Yankee fan. And thanks for being here, Ian. Judy,
thank you.
Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. Always nice to have you here.
Always nice to be here.
Were you happy to be here?
Yes.
Are you going to be happy to get the hell out of here?
Learn a little bit about Yankees.
Off to serve the 5-game suspension.
Alan Chartok, you were here as well, so that's that's nice. You can join the conversation by emailing. Join the conversation by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Hour two of the roundtable is straight away.